Good morning to one and all. Today I stand here on behalf of Ben Dick to preach the word of God. He's sick. And so I received a call from Elder Edwin to take his place. I told Edwin, say, okay, but my message will be different from what I usually preach from this pulpit, from the book of Hebrews. I will preach on the forgiveness, and this message I have prepared for Eagle Ridge next week. So it's a new message, but you are the first one to listen first. All right, so you know what's the message here and what's the message there. And I tell you the truth, the ministry of Eagle Ridge is a blessed ministry. It touches the heart of many people. Many people like to hear the choir sing the word of God. And last week, one of them, actually two of them, but I just mentioned one of them, a volunteer worker by the name of Susan. He asked, where is your church? Can we join you or not? I said, welcome, welcome. So there is some response, some liking about our service. And they say there are many churches came to Eagle Ridge to minister to the people, but we all like your services. So thank God for that. And those of you who have not joined any ministry or like to join this service, join the choir. And see for yourself and pray for it. And the Lord will move you to reach out to these old people. So today I'm going to speak on forgiveness. Though it's for Eagle Ridge, but it's applicable to all. Okay, applicable to all. We all know that many of us live and die with a kind of list written in our mind. It is a list whom we believe. It is a list of people whom we believe have wronged us, hurt, misused, mistreated, or misguided us. And we always remember, we can't forget, we can't forgive the person. Many of us, if you're honest enough, we ask you, do you have anyone that have stepped on your toe in the past? I believe there are some of them. And you can still remember the incident, the things that happened, and the hurts that you have. So what was the result? The results are often less spectacular. A marriage destroyed, a family divided, a church split, and friendship ruined, and a business party devastated. So this is the result in many cases. At the root of all these tragedies is a spirit of unforgiveness that locks an individual into a prison of his own thinking, where resentment, bitterness, and anger become his constant companions. Always think about it. An unforgiving spirit is that driving force that compels us to strike back at those whom we believe have wronged us. This desire to strike back is so strong that the Lord Jesus Christ considers it to be one of our life crucial issues. The Lord Jesus dealt with the need of forgiveness on a few occasions in his ministry. Perhaps the most important message about forgiveness are given in the form of a parable, the unforgiving servant, found in the passage that we have heard just now. Matthew chapter 18 speaks of the relationship among God's people. He speaks first about the needs to be a childlike and humble. And then he reminds his disciple of the need to be forgiving and to restore relationship amongst God's people. When people heard about that, he asked Jesus a question about forgiveness. How often shall my brother sin against me and I shall forgive him and I forgive him till seven times? Peter knew that it was not easy to forgive one who have wronged you. It is very, very difficult. Furthermore, he has been taught by the rabbis that forgiveness is essential. And they taught him that when a man sins against him, he forgives him once. He forgives him twice. And the third time, but the fourth time, don't forgive that person. That is a teaching from the rabbis. Peter was willing to go beyond the second mile. He doubled the number and plus one more for good measure. He thought that would be more than enough to forgive a person. All right, Rabbi said three times. He said seven times. That's enough, more than enough. Jesus replied and said to him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. How many times did Jesus mean? Did he mean 70 plus seven or 70 times seven? Which is correct? All right, many scholars see the meaning to be 70 times 7, 490 times. But this does not really state Jesus' meaning. Peter taught in terms of number, how many times, and he would count the times of forgiveness up to seven times and then stop there. Well, one can hardly imagine forgiving the same person 77 times, not to say 490 times. Can we do that? 77 times. Difficult. And not to say 490 times. But Jesus is not thinking in terms of mathematics. In the Greek, see, you have to go back to the Greek. In the Greek, he says, I do not say to you seven times. This is not what I'm talking about. He emphasized the negative. That is, he brushed away all thoughts of mathematics, all thoughts of number. He meant unlimited forgiveness. Jesus was teaching that a person should always be ready to forgive. Therefore, Jesus drove home this lesson of forgiveness with one of the most wonderful illustration in the parable of unforgiving servant that we have heard just now. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 23, the Lord Jesus Christ says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servant. I want you to take note that this parable is referring to the kingdom relationship. It is referring to the Christians, to the Christian, not to those who are outside the kingdom. All right? It's referring to Christian. He's not talking about the manner by which one enters into the kingdom. He's not talking about that. He's not talking about salvation. He's talking about those in the kingdom, those who are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. So this is the main point we must understand. How many of us here are citizens of heaven? I'm the one. I'm one of it. Let me see your hand. Some half citizen. Full citizenship. Okay, let me see. How many? Per hand. Okay. Thank God. And so this message is for you. All right? It's for you. Listen carefully for you. And the message goes, a king called all his servants in to settle accounts, and he discovered one of his servants owed him 10,000 talents. My friend, this was a very large sum of money. How much is it? From the book I study, it tells me that it was equivalent to $12 million. $12 million! That's a lot! There was simply no excuse for a person to squander away that much money in a lifetime. A lot! And so the king commanded that he sold all that he had, including himself, in order to, that the payment might be made. This was in keeping with the Mosaic law in Exodus 22, verse 3. And the servant knew it very well. Therefore, the servant fell down and begged for mercy, begged for compassion. And the king forgave him of all his debt. Think about it. $12 million the king forgave him. Then the same servant went out and found a fellow servant, a co-laborer, who owed him 100 pence. The exact number I do not know. Samuel says 87 or something like that. I found about $20, which is rich. Which is right, depends on what kind of currency, perhaps. But it doesn't matter, all right? It's a small amount of money. If granted a reasonable period of grace, undoubtedly he could pay his debt. Do you think so? He could. And Jesus said that this servant, unforgiving servant, took him by the throat and kept on choking him. Now, this was a standard practice by the Romans. The Romans did that, you see, in dealings with the debtor. This implied that the man is acting like a pagan, like the non-Christian people, like the people of the world, dealing with a fellow Christian. The debtor kept on beseeching him, asking him for mercy, mercy, mercy. Give him more time that he will be able to pay. But the debtor keep begging him. The unmerciful man did not forgive him and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Think about it, when he is in prison, how to pay the debt? Impossible. And this is what happened. Other servants saw the incidents. Now, what did they do? They reported to the king. Reported to the king. And this gave a clear and complete account of the unmerciful servant's action. The master heard it and was very, very angry. And in his anger, he delivered the unmerciful servant to the jail, to the jailer, until he should pay all his debts. And Jesus said that so also my heavenly Father would do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from the heart. From the heart. This is the parable that Jesus spoke to the disciples. Now, Jesus had no intention just to tell a story for entertainment. The parable is not just for entertainment, just a story, a big time story. It's not that. There are something that Jesus wants to drive home. He says that this is how my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brethren from your heart. He is speaking to the disciple, and his words remind us that this basic teaching on forgiveness is applied to all of us here, all the citizens of heaven, you and I. There are at least three major truths I tackle three. Now, three major truths that we must consider. The parable clearly indicates that to accept God's forgiveness and to refuse to forgive other is not just unfortunate. It's not just unfortunate. It is what? You read carefully in verse 32, it says it is wicked. The king said to the address, the unmerciful servant, said, "Thou wicked servant." It is wicked. It is wicked. As a result, the master delivered him into prison and demanded that he pay all his debts. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 tells us, "For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And this is what exactly happened to this unmerciful servant. Forgiving others is a Christian grace. It is a Christian duty. The Lord Jesus enforced this disciple of forgiveness in the Lord's Prayer. I heard about it just this morning prayer. Our brother Samuel talked about it. What is inside the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our trespasses, right? And as we have forgiven the trespasses of other people. So here you see, Jesus put it this way, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Dear friends, we have been reciting the Lord's Supper quite often and sometimes occasionally. Do we have this forgiveness spirit? The Apostle Paul also said the same thing. What did Paul say? He said, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." From where? Ephesians 4:32. Now, the duty of forgiveness is grounded in Calvary. What the Lord Jesus did show what we must do. The cross is where we receive forgiveness, and the cross is where we learn to forgive. And this is something that we Christians must remember. If you cannot remember that, please remember the golden rules. You all know the golden rules? Many people know the golden rules. Alright, the golden rules in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Here says, "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophet." I mean, this is the word of God. Alright, law and prophet refers to the word of God. "For this is the word of God." That's what God is telling us to do. If you want people to forgive you, you must be ready to forgive other people. If you want God to forgive you, you must be ready to forgive other people. That is a teaching here. So my friend, it is a duty, right? It is a duty. The source of forgiveness is of God's grace. The parable clearly indicates that we need to understand the extent of our debt to God. Like the servant, we are faced with the burden of sin, and that is beyond our capacity to remove it from us. We can never do it at all. We also need to understand the price of forgiveness is very costly. Although we receive it very easily, but it is very, very costly. It cost the king $12 million just to forgive that servant. How much does it cost God to forgive your sin? It costs God to forgive our sin by giving His only begotten Son. How much does Jesus cost? I don't think you can use money to buy the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's very, very costly. And God cannot just pronounce forgiveness to someone, must pay the ransom. And so Christ needs to come to this world to die on the cross to pay the ransom for our sin. Then God will be able to pronounce the forgiveness of sin on those who believe in Him. Therefore, the source of forgiveness is in the grace of God. He gave His Son to die for our sin. And it is very costly. It is of God's grace. And we receive it by faith. So, dear friends, this morning message is for all. First of all of us have sinned. Whether you are Christian or non-Christian, all of us have sinned. And we have sinned against God, we have sinned against man. And if we have not believed in Jesus Christ, my friend, our sin have not yet been forgiven. If we are still outside the kingdom of God, may I encourage you to come and receive forgiveness of God through believing in Jesus Christ. If you are a citizen of heaven, you are still have this unforgiving spirit. My friend, may I exhort you the verse that Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. You know how to recite this verse? Let's try, okay? If you do not know, turn to your Bible. Ephesians 4, 32. All right, I give you some time for those who do not know to turn to your Bible and see what it's all about. Ephesians 4, 32. All right, ready? We'll recite together. Ready, go. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. May God help us to show grace to others. Those who have wronged us, let us take away our unforgiving spirit and let us restore relationship with that person again. For this is the duty of God. So may God help us today with this message to build our relationship with one another. In closing, let us turn to hymn 270. 270, Wonderful Grace of Jesus.